Letters from a Glass House is a not-for-profit ministry of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Venice, Florida. Support us today at uucov.org.
The late Irma Bombeck was one of America's most well-known humorists from the 70s through the 90s. And her books made fun of suburbia and families, her own failed attempts to be a savvy feminist, and motherhood, always motherhood. She wrote, "The grass is always greener over the septic tank. Life is a bowl of cherries. If life is a bowl of cherries, what am I doing in the pits?" And 15 other immensely popular books. She made people laugh. And at times she made them cry. Our reading this morning was one of her sweeter pieces. Bombeck poked at all those parts of motherhood that women weren't talking about yet. She and Phyllis Diller were the only two brave enough to come out and say, "Sometimes motherhood stinks. The baby pooped on my head. My husband's been late for dinner every day this week. The kids need their clothes washed. The kids stink." And what she did paved the way for today's shows like The Conners and Modern Family. They have a much more realistic look at what it means to be a mom. Mother's Day is the day that we celebrate mothers and moms and nanas and mamas. But you know, mothering isn't just something you do with your body by having biological offspring. Mothering is relationship. Mothers birth new life into being, not just through their bodies, but through their hearts and their minds. It's an ongoing process. In her book, The Lunchbox Chronicles, writer Marianne Winnick says it well when she says, "For me, parenting is like dieting. Every day I wake up filled with resolve and good intention, perfection in view, and every day somehow I stray from the path. The difference is with dieting, I usually make it to lunch." You know, some mothers cry for joy, others for sadness, some for frustration. Some because they love what they brought into being, others because they wish they knew what love was like. And whether we're the parent or the child, the creator or the creation, related by blood or circumstance, mothering is about the interplay between two forces. And it's amazing how strong that interplay can be. And this is a true story. August 16th, 1996. It was a really warm day at the Brookfield Zoo in Brookfield, Illinois. The crowds were ridiculously thick for any of you who ever took your kids out on the summer to the zoo. And at the gorilla enclosure, there were parents and children lined all the way around. The gorillas were 18 feet below them. And one mom wasn't paying a lot of attention to her 3-year-old son. Nobody ever found out why. It never made the news. The internet wasn't as big a thing yet. He walked away from her, went through the fence, climbed the wall, and fell 18 feet to the concrete. And an 8-year-old female, now this is years before Harambe, an 18-year-old female Western lowland gorilla named Binti Jua was part of the band, and she watched the little boy fall. He landed hard. It knocked him unconscious. His hand was broken. His face was cut. Binti Jua was a mother herself. She had her 17-month-old baby, Kula, hanging on her back. And people started screaming, as you can imagine. This little boy had hit bad. People started screaming even louder when Binti started to walk toward this unconscious toddler, especially when she started growling at the other gorillas. But Binti, with her own baby hanging on her back, picked up the little boy, cuddled him, snarling and growling at the other gorillas. She carried him to the den door, hit the door with her hand, and sat there and waited for her keepers and the paramedics. And when they showed up, she handed them the baby. And then she walked away. The little boy was fine after treatment, but his embarrassed and frightened parents would never allow his name to be released, and they would not do interviews. All we know is that he was indeed fine. But here's the thing, for every mother on the planet, everyone, sometimes you're the gorilla who gets it all right. And sometimes you're the mom who looked the other way while your kid fell in the gorilla pit. Mothering isn't exclusive. It's not proprietary. It's relational. It's situational. Good mothering and bad, mothering by the book or by the skin of your teeth, mothers are people. People who do the job well and people who do the job, well, less well. Binti ended up being an exceptional mother to little Kula, eventually a lovely grandma to two more little gorilla babies. She was great at leaf eating and cuddling and not chasing the babies around the cage with a stick, and yet no human on earth would ask that gorilla to babysit their kid for 90 seconds. The little boy who fell, no one ever learned his name. His parents weren't charged with anything. His mother never had another problem that anybody ever heard of. She may have turned out to be Room Mother of the Year. Nobody wakes up in the morning, or at least almost nobody, and thinks, boy, I want to destroy my kids today. Now, many teenagers would tell you this is not true. They're convinced. Mom got up this morning with malice aforethought and chose evil. Mothering's about all of it. It's about being present and absent, friendly or cold, raising a child, or occasionally idly wondering whatever happened to that kid you had. What works for one mother and child's a disaster for the next, no matter what the internet tells you. Anyone who writes a book that guarantees it will tell you how to be a good mother is either delusional or has a background in selling tourists the Brooklyn Bridge. We're all going to get it wrong a lot of the time. Good moms do it by the skin of their teeth. Lots of moms stand there absent-mindedly, eating the crust off the toddler's toast and sort of dipping them in the pureed plums. Some do it because they can't bear to take their attention off their beloved child. Others because they forgot to shop. Some mothers have a nanny and sit down to fresh brewed coffee every morning. It doesn't matter. No two mothers' experiences are the same. And the really good ones, you figure it out as you go with the screw-ups intact. They are competent and fearless while feeling sure they have screwed everything up 9 days out of 10. A few years ago, I was working at a church dinner, and I saw a 5'4" mother of then four adults tell another congregant who couldn't figure out how to get a bowl way up high, "Oh, don't worry about it," she said, tucking the bowl under her arm. "I'll just get up here and stand in the cheese and it'll be easy." We moved the food off the counter and she indeed stood on the counter and put the bowl up when the 6'2" person couldn't figure out how to get it up there. Mothers make it happen, even if sometimes you have to stand in the cheese. I've always loved Khalil Gibran. He wrote a prose poem called The Prophet, and he talks about being a good parent. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children as living arrows are sent forth. The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and he bends you with his might, that his arrows might go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness. For even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves the bow that is stable. What an incredible set of verses. Mothers create another person through their presence and absence, words and actions, but they don't own that creation. It's going to do what it wants to do. You just got to kind of steer and pray like hell. They can model ways to be in the world or let their lack of modeling speak for them, but they can't control the child's way of being in the world. Mothers can be upgraded, but children are often not backwards compatible. That's not a bad thing. If mothering is relational, then it's designed to change over time, and that change isn't always second nature. Now, I don't know about you all, but when you get together with people who've known you for years and years and years, you ever notice you revert to the way you were years and years and years ago? You go to your class reunion and you were the class clown. You haven't told a joke in 50 years, but suddenly you're making them crack up over in the back corner. Maybe you were a horn major. You haven't picked up your horn since your kids were four. But you go to that class reunion and all of a sudden you're talking about that great concert. We do the same thing with our mothers. We hold on to the relationships that we remember. For all those mothers who remained in active relation to us, changing and growing, knowing who we were as we changed, we honor and salute them. We also honor and recognize the others, the ones who do the equivalent of seeing us at the class reunion. The mothers who make us feel as if we're still 13 when we call on the phone because we know we did it all wrong. And I have to tell on myself, a few years ago, my mother called me just before Easter. She wanted to make sure I decorated the church in all the right liturgical colors, had undraped the cross, and set up the communion set correctly. At a UU church. I took a deep breath and I explained to her I certainly would not screw it all up. Mothering gets harder as we grow up and grow away from our mothers who only know us through those phone calls and those visits. How can we expect to be fully present with the person they are now if they only know us as the person we were then? Who are we to hold them to who they were then if we don't know who they are now? Interactions within our families with those who mother us can still hurt or heal 20 or 30 or 60 years later, whether mom is the gorilla or the one who dropped it in the gorilla's enclosure, the angel or the demon or the ghost who was just never there. She wasn't perfect, she just was. All of our paths are different. The challenge of being a family is amazing. Jack Kornfield wrote a book called After the Ecstasy, The Laundry. He tells the story of a woman married to a popular Hindu teacher, and the woman comments, "My husband came home from his last visit in India in an amazing state. He was enlightened for 6 months, and then he spent time with his mom." Jesus, the Christian Messiah, when he was told in the Gospels his mother and brothers were looking for him when he was preaching, he refused to see them and instead said to the crowd, "These are my mother and brothers, those who do the will of God." Can't you just see a 32-year-old man, well-known prophet, possible son of God, sighing and face-palming as a nervous disciple tells him, "Hey, Jesus, your mom wants you." Learning to be in relation with the mother you have now rather than the mother you had as a child, is an important part of who we are as healthy people. We grow, we change, we forgive, we ask for forgiveness, we look for compassion. Some of my mothers weren't good at mothering. Some of them were terrible. Some of us were terrible. And now we're the people we were raised to be. And some of us grew up wonderful. We have wonderful, healthy relationships. We accepted our parents' worlds and words and values and choices. We became who they raised us to be. Some of us rejected our mother and went in other directions. We also became who we were raised to be. Safe or unsafe, loving or cold, our lives are intertwined with those who mothered us. We're the living arrows they fired. They're the bows that fired us, and here we are. We made it this far. You have a 100% success rate. You are here. Moms, your kids made it this far. You made it this far. For this day and every day, we thank those who mothered us, whether they're here or gone ahead into mystery, warm and safe and kept close by, or dangerous and distant by choice, good or bad or anything in between, whether they are a gorilla or a human being. St. Francis said, preach always, use words when necessary. Quaker author Parker Palmer said, we should let our lives speak. I'll tell you now, you are the sermon your mother preached. And you're absolutely beautiful. And you're okay. And you made it this far. Happy Mother's Day, and amen.